So what we want to do is do a crystal empowerment. And the empowerment will keep us all connected, and it also will keep energizing the teachings. Because what I wanted to accomplish was to have a strong group of us connected as we move from the winter solstice through spring equinox, probably some of the most talked about time in certainly our history and ancient times as well, so that we are going to be energizing really strongly for the 6 weeks. And we, so that if you have your crystal in front of you, just put your hands on your crystal and concentrate on your spiritual presence. So the crystal will both energize and ground the power of your spiritual presence into your conscious awareness. And I also got this really cool idea of putting flower essences on the crystal on a daily basis to energize us. And so I've made up a mixture that holds us in that bigger awareness, a holistic consciousness that helps us to be really empowered in our root chakra and helps us to notice our projections, so that in any way that we are projecting out into something, it's just going to help us find the truth. It'll bring clear vision. So we have this strong energetic, the base of the chakra, a real sense of clear visioning and connection, and a level of self-empowerment to be self-directed and to be more energetically available to yourself. So that in any way that you are toning yourself down or holding yourself back or going invisible, the essence will help you to just kind of open up and feel comfortable in a larger presence. So the three essences that we're working with, and we'll probably, I will keep this one going for the entire 6 weeks, is Queen Anne's Lace, Tansy, and Shasta Daisy. And if you want to get some of this, we can make it available to you as well through the mail. So we have our crystal empowerment. It's going to be connected. You can do candles, flowers, prayers, anything that will do it. And as you're energizing in the crystal space, we'll be energizing us as the entire group. So we're all going to be giving and receiving and energizing, connecting. And you know me, I want to have fun with this. And so that I'm going to keep bringing a playful, expansive, energetic into the group. So you got your paper and pencil here, and there's going to be a few things I'm going to want you to write down because you're going to need to reference them. We'll have the recording, and I would encourage you to listen to the recording in the next couple of weeks about 3 times. But if that's not really possible, you'll have a little note cards here for you to be able to keep coming back to the images that we want to be empowering. So the first word I want to explore here with you is committing. To commit to something. And what I want you to do, just close your eyes for a moment and get an image of what it means to be in that committing place. And I want to keep the ing, committing. So the image that I got was the archer with the arrow and just shooting it off into something with absolute clarity towards the energy moving forward. To commit means that you take all your energy and move it forward in one direction. So whatever the image is, whatever it is, just jot it down enough that you can remember it. The power to commit. So you jot, I'll talk. Playing with this aspect of to commit and looked at what is it that I'm really committed to in my life. And it it's like for me, when I get really committed, it borderlines on obsession. I can't often stop thinking about it. It's in my presence a lot. As you know, I'm incredibly committed to this work. I'm committed to my relationships, especially my relationship with Errol, which means that there's a place of consideration in most everything I do that looks at the power of my work in relationship to who I am, so that my commitment keeps bringing this up as a rich foundation. So what are you committed to? We are having a conversation. So what are you committed to? Write it down. Give me a couple things so that you can get the feeling for what it means when there's just absolutely no hesitation, nothing, absolutely all your energy moving in one direction towards your object of desire or your deep sense of awakening. They said that in the Buddhist lore, they say that once you make your vows and you make a commitment to awakening, to being enlightened, that all, it affects all your lifetimes after that. So everything that happens after that connection shifts your destiny. And it makes sense. We can watch you commit to something right now and watch the quality of your life change pretty dramatically simply from what it is that you're saying is important in your life and the willingness for you to give yourself in that way. It's so powerful. So, committing to spiritual presence, right, here we are. Here's how I define spiritual presence. Spiritual presence is the space that the I lives in. Write that down. Spiritual presence is the space that the I lives in. That means it's always here, that it forms you, and so that when we're talking here today, that I is going to be very important, because to what degree does that I recognize this presence? So we're not going to make anything, we're just going to broaden, we're going to expand. That's why we listen to the flower essence and it says, wow, we're going to expand and we're not going to hold back and we're going to open our heart space. We're going to learn how to be aware of this greater presence that we already are. You think of it in that capacity, it's like the peeling of the onion, right? Layer and layer and layer of absence or denial or hurt or separation that would stop us from being able to recognize that, gosh, we're already there. But in a way of convenience, for lack of a better word, we've got to talk about this in the sense that we have a local reality, which would be the awareness of you, yourself, your history, your environment, all your conditioning, everything that's affected you, this what I call your local reality, and then this higher gradient of your presence. This would be the spiritual principles of compassion and truth and love and grace and goodness and all the way that spiritual presence is named. And each of these names has its own congruent energetic field that you can draw on. So powerful, these different levels of spiritual presence, is that we have deities and archangels naming those particular spaces so we can chart them or track them in our consciousness, so we can personify and humanize them and allow them to come into our local world. So here's the catch. Your spiritual presence cannot enter unless you give permission. This power of permission comes from the free will aspect that says that nothing can interrupt your local evolutionary reality, that the universe can't just come in and bong you and you're instantly there. It's your choice. Free choice, universe. When we commit, we're making a choice. When we're committing to our spiritual presence, we're really saying, wow, I'm going to become aware. In fact, I'm going to give so much permission that I want my spiritual presence running my nervous system. I want to live in this state of love and truth and harmony and connection. But it's not a little bubble reality that floats off into divinity. It's more something that says it embraces us within our humanness. It's in my feet. It's a grounded reality. And the presence isn't something that's bubbling me in my little world to keep me safe. It's something that's coming down my central nervous system and expanding out of my belly and creating that energy field grounded through my local reality, making it available for whoever or whatever it is that comes my way. There's some that say that's what the Buddha and Jesus, the greater master teachers that we know, that's what they actually did, is they brought the spiritual principles down through their first three chakras, held the power of personifying so big that it just embraced the entire world. And they both said, you know, anybody can do this. And we're putting it to the test. So here we are, committing to our spiritual presence, acknowledging that spiritual presence is the space that the I, this local reality, lives in, that the local reality is going to hold all my I awareness, my thoughts, my feelings, my reactions, my emotions, and this spiritual presence is always there, and my awareness may move in and out of that I may not always be able to remember and have it there unless I give permission on a deeper level to become that. So there's very specific energy fields that are needed for us to pull this off. And that's what this six-week training is about, is us getting these qualities, these energetic fields under our belt, giving us the tools so that we don't forget, and using our local reality as strong as we can to kind of keep us on track, rather than thinking of my irritation or my frustration or my anger as a determinant, something that knocks me off my path. We're going to use it for something that actually reinforces and brings you back to center. We'll talk more about that a little later. So why would you, this is another question, Rima, I'm talking to you, why would you close down to your spiritual presence? Well, obviously we think, well, I don't want to do that, for God's sake. It's like, how do I know? It's like I was trying to figure it out. How do I know when I'm totally congruent in my spiritual space? It's like, for me, it's because I'm happy. I definitely get happy, or if I'm in a deeper place of difficulty, I can tell because I'm congruent, because I'm really true to myself. I know what's right for me. I know what I need to do. I'm in the driver's seat of my own reality. We're congruent. We're here. We're connected. So that no one, I think, has a sense that they just want to go, okay, well, I'll take the day off. I don't feel like being happy today or whatever. It comes from old conditions or situations. So it dawned on me when I was working with many people through the last tour that we were on that the key reason why the energy wasn't holding is because there were certain needs that were not getting met in the person, certain needs that they did not believe that need could be met. Where they didn't believe they could be loved, or they didn't believe that they could be happy, or they didn't believe they could be well. there were just certain needs that they'd already made up their mind that that need wasn't going to happen. So when we would come to that need and talk about it, and I did this a lot in private sessions, the person would either get sarcastic or they'd get defensive or they'd get very sad. And it seemed like that all of those emotions were basically what was cradling or hiding. It's like shame was a real big one. I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy was a huge one. They were basically trying to protect the our essence somehow by closing it off or keeping it hidden. So that the next thing we want to write down here, it's got to be a daily song in your heart, is it's safe to get your needs met. Write it down. It's safe to have your needs met. And so you can feel what's coming. Any need that you have already decided on some level that you are not safe, if that need gets lit up, you're going to feel the dissonance of the unmet need. And what we're asking is that anytime you start feeling uncomfortable, call for compassion. Kind of get to know yourself. What do you do when you get into dissonance? Do you go get busy? Do you eat out your refrigerator? It's like, what do you do when you feel that uncomfortableness or that dissonance, or when you feel you're somehow moving into some case that doesn't feel familiar or dangerous? So that when you do start moving in that direction of dissonance, we just want to be present there. Where we're standing right now, we really don't want to fix anything. We just want to be present with it. The presence will do the fixing if fixing needs to happen. So we're not in our head trying to figure out anything. The only thing we're actually using our mind for here is to remember. And in any time when you're uncomfortable, what are you remembering? Compassion. Safe to get your needs met. So here's my big theory around the whole deal. That when I was a kid and I needed love, so I was going to go get love from Mummy because that's what everybody does, and I went over to Mummy and Mummy was not in a good mood. My mom was one of those single-handed, raise the family and feed the dogs and everything else that has to happen in the course of a day. And so that there were many times when I would go asking her for love that she would basically either put me to work or get irritated and be frustrated because I was needy and whiny after a while. So that pretty much I got a sense that it wasn't safe to need to be loved. And so that I went inside, and I remember the day, it's like that I just went in and just turned off that part of me that I considered to be whiny or needy or whatever. But I also turned off all the magnetism that would call for love. In the beginning, that magnetism comes in our child is usually as bright and playful and sweet, and that it just naturally calls in people loving us. That's the beauty of the child, the little kitty or ducky. It brings that innocence forward. But if there's somebody around that doesn't have comfort to love or to give love in that way, they're going to come to anger. They're going to come to basically closing that down so that it's at that point, love was not safe for me. It was not safe to call for love. And so I started to basically hide my essence. I didn't give it up, but I only took it in nature. I went away into the woods and I played with my fairy friends and I goofed around. But it's like any time that I was hanging out with people from probably around 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I kept myself pretty muted and pretty quiet. So what did I do on an energetic level? I collapsed the energetic field that would call for love. And because I did that, then it's coded, because this is my essence. My essence is never going to disappear, but it's coded with a sense of heaviness, of shame. I basically created a guardian to protect my essence. Now, given that the environment wasn't that safe to start out with, that was probably the smartest thing that I could ever do. Yet, if I don't go and have a sense of making friends with that guardian and getting this love field energized for me on a very personal level, not just universal love everybody everywhere, but don't get too close, but a real deep sense of loving me for me and having a sense that I can hold love in the very base of my spine and radiate out and just allow myself to be loved. And from that point, it draws love into my field. And it's the most natural, beautiful act of nature that could ever be. If we don't have this breathing space in our needs body, whatever it is, it could be the need to be respected. It could be the need to feel confident, to act and do and learn and grow. You name it. It's like in the sense of what needs are important here. But if that need is collapsed, it's going to sit in you as an absence, as a feeling of emptiness, as a sense that something's wrong. And you will not have the ability to magnetize that quality to you. And then if we topple it on there, more than likely because you're holding it in shame, you're not going to open the door and give permission for your spiritual presence to come in, probably unless you're desperate. And I think that's how I finally got my spiritual presence into that part of me. It just hurt too much. I was suffering too much because I missed my essence. I walked around for years and years and years thinking something was really wrong with me. So here we are calling for this power of our spiritual presence to enter in to all our needs and allow them to be brought back to a natural giving and receiving capacity. And the reason that we're committing here to our spiritual presence is so that these states in my first and second chakra can live with compassion and knowingness without having a sense of other, without having to draw up this empty, absent, not good enough person that seems to be a cultural disease of our in our world right now. So even mere mention of this sometimes can frighten. It can create dissonance because we're coming into a place where your energy is going to be asked to change. It's okay. That's where I come. It's like we need to get happy about this. Even if the sense that we're going to be uncomfortable, it's like we have to understand the process that if I go to a need that's not used to being met or used to being felt, I'm going to feel dissonance. When I feel that dissonance, what am I going to do? I'm going to call for compassion. Now, what is it that compassion actually does? Compassion is a karma melter. It neutralizes your energy field. It gives you a sense of coming back to your presence. So powerful. So let yourself just cue in here again. Let's just close our eyes for a second. Let's find something. What do you do when you can feel yourself closing down? Right? Do you know when you're closing down? So let's just practice open close. So we could know if you start to close down, you'd know what close down is. So just close your energy field for a minute. Notice where you go. Okay. Take a breath. Now open your field. Take a breath. So our vow here, part of our commitment, is we're going to stay open to ourselves. We're even going to stay open to the parts of ourselves that may still feel naturally safer closing down. Fair enough, right? There's no right or wrong here. But we're going to stay open. So that anytime you feel your body starting to close down, what do we do? Well, we can call for compassion. We could if we're curious and we're awake and realizing that, hey, I am closing down, you could follow the path and see where you're going. Why, you know, what is the need that you're closing down around? We could get some information and you could pay a little private eye, right? And go in there and figure out what's actually going on. And we can keep coming back to, it's safe to have your needs met. I firmly believe that unless we are comfortable in our needs body, we're always going to be splintered on some level around our spiritual presence, because it's that permission thing I was talking about. It's like if I'm in a closed reality, basically I'm not giving permission. If I'm in an open space, it's that permission becomes obvious. My open sign says yes. So let's take it even further here. Let's do a congruent, yes, let's have a sense that we're ready for our being happy. I want to be happy. I want to be connected. I want to have wisdom and clarity and beauty. I want to be able to feel safe in my world, right? Let's say congruently, let's just say yes to that. And we want a congruent yes, right? What are we doing here? We're practicing our energy field. We're charting it by how we feel. Let's go for a yes. So a good piece of what we're learning is how to stay open. When I'm open, my awareness gives me a deep sense of being connected, and I'm good to go. So given that I may not be open to everything that walks around and wiggles, we also need to have what we call a healthy no. A healthy no says, I know what works or doesn't work for me, right? It's like I could have a healthy no to myself that if I'm hitting the chocolate cake, I could certainly, you know, I can have one, maybe I'd squeeze in two, but a healthy no says, Nancy, you eat any more than that, honey. You're going to be sick in the morning. So how about just eat a little slower and enjoy your bites, right? That would be a healthy no. It'd be giving me guidance that says, you know, it's like, I know you want to, but let's look at the consequences. Healthy no may say that someone asked me to do something I know it's not right for me to do. The tendency in the old way would be to close down, even get mad at that person for asking me in the first place. Healthy no says, I stay open and tell the truth. Now, a lot of you know how to do this. It's just a matter of not jumping into the old conditioning that would cause you to think that you are obligated. So what I did when I was learning this is I made a little cardinal rule for myself. Anything I do that's going to leave me in resentment later, I don't get to do it. Because my resentment, my field got too big. My resentment, people felt it. It was not okay. And so I had to develop a healthy no, a way to stay no and say no and be open and feel comfortable in that space. Because if you don't have a healthy no, then there's a hard time trusting your yes. And we're not going to spiritual presence so you can have all the energy for the whole world that you could give and give and give and give and give and that everything would live happily ever after. That's not what we're going for. We're not out to make you into some god or goddess form. We're here to give you permission to be yourself. So let's try out a healthy no. So allow yourself just to picture something in front of you that's not working. Notice that your old conditioned way would be to do what? Watch what your body does. What does it do when it says no unconsciously? When you get good at this, you'll be able to know exactly what chakra center you closed down. Okay, now let's go for healthy no. You're going to tell the truth to yourself. You're going to acknowledge what you can and cannot give in the situation, and you're going to accept it. That's the rule of, of Healthy No. We tell the truth. We acknowledge what we can or cannot give. We tell the truth with compassion. And within all that, you have to accept it. So then it grounds. Often what I found in my Healthy No is as soon as I grounded, I didn't have to say a word. Everybody knew already. And there was blessings in it. Beautiful. You guys are doing great. Let's take a breath. Let's take a little pause. Now we're going to go back. We're going to go into our little look at what we're doing here, kind of put it in the bigger picture. We're committing. Remember our image. We're committing to spiritual presence, meaning that I am a spiritual being. I'm already there, and parts of me are still waking up, and we're going to get that part that's waking up totally aligned with the part that's already awake. Take a breath. It's safe to get our needs met. And that if we go through a little uncomfortableness, we get a little dissident as we're reprogramming our body, then it would give us a sign something's happening. It's like when you wash your clothes, they're really dirty, they come out clean. Wow, that's amazing. So that if we get a little uncomfortable here, or we get a little unconscious, the universe will keep us on track. And we're just learning how to stay open. So we practice open. We know what happens in our consciousness when we close. We could feel it. And you kind of open, close, check in numerous times a day and find out, are you open or are you closed? Don't judge. Doesn't matter. It's just, it's going to be more fun being open. So just open, even if you just open to yourself. And we made a little commitment there, said, okay, let's really commit to stay open to ourselves no matter what. I don't have to open to the world out there, but I need to stay in touch with me. My local reality is ready to stay conscious. In that way, then we come in there from the sense of our activity in the world, that when we really are going for something, we come to a congruent yes. And when something's not working, we come with a healthy no. So what about getting our needs met? How do we do that? We have to ask. So I came up with, you've all heard it probably about 25 times, I came with a whole sense of us being able to track our consciousness in daily life, especially working with this part of us that would be unconscious or dissident. So we came in and said, okay, at any moment that something's going on, especially if you're starting to feel uncomfortable, we need to know, what are you feeling? And if you're not feeling anything, then are you numb? And where is your awareness? So if you can't really tell what you're feeling, more than likely, most of your awareness is in what somebody else is doing or not doing, something you wanted them to be, something they said to you, and your mind can get obsessive thinking about what it is they should have said, should have done, didn't do, and we could hear it for an hour, or our friends will hear it for an hour as we're rattling on, talking about the situation, and still we come back and say, what are you feeling? You may not be able to name it. So the step one is to get out of your projected realities, get out of your obsessive head talk. If you're saying the same thing more two or three times, we come back and say, what are you feeling? You're going to have to say, I'm obsessed. Yeah? I'm feeling obsession. Right? So it's like we want to come back. We want to find out what you're feeling. Once we're naming it, and again, there's no judgment here, just what do you feel? As soon as you're able to name it, now we want to know. Key question, what do you need? So I often pose that question, what do I need? I'm assuming that the only reason I'm upset or uncomfortable is because my needs are not getting met, and I may not know what that need is. So what do I need? So I often, when I'm asking that question, I'm listening. What do I need? As soon as it's named, then I go with the breath into that bigger awareness and set the field of whatever it is that I need. This is simple, and we have to keep it that way. The hardest part is to remember to do it. So we just got to keep checking in, keep checking in. So what are you feeling? What do you need? And then you let your need reset the energy field. So let's practice it. Check in right now and just name what you're feeling. And if you can't quite name it, you can ask for clarity. If you keep coming back to a blank space, more than likely that's either numb or absent. And through the course of a couple weeks, you'll find all these different pieces. Now, after you've named it, what do you need? Now, this is where spiritual presence takes over. You're giving permission, even by naming this need, for it to be met. But here's the cue, is we don't have to process this. We don't have to understand why we need it, when we didn't have it, nothing. For me, at this point, I said, if there's anything that Spirit wants me to know, tell me after I've reset the field. So that if I'm here and I'm kind of getting a little quicker and I listen inside, I feel a little anxious, I'm naming, it's like, what do I need? I need to stay really grounded. So I'm going to take the word grounding and I'm just going to pop it right above my head. I'm going to pop it into my field and just allow that field of grounding to just take over my nervous system. Sometimes you'll be able to track it immediately. Other times, some other people will see it quicker than you. Sometimes your conscious mind might be the last part that actually registers that that needs being met. But it's the law. If you call, it comes. It's the law. Safe to get your needs met. So, what am I feeling? What do I need? And reset the field. If I'm swishing around it, I'm processing, going over it in my head, thinking about it, that's actually not setting the field. You're still in the aspect of the feeling space. So that when you come to the sense of really setting that the power of your intentional field, contacting your spiritual presence to assist you, at that point, it's like, again, you'll feel it with strength, stability, and you'll name it. Bing. I think of it as hitting a bell. Grounding. Boom. And I let it come. So this is a lot. And you'll practice it. That's why I say you might have to hear this again, that being able to remember is actually the only difficulty. That's why we're writing things down, so that if you just walk around for a couple of weeks just acknowledging that it's safe to get your needs met, everything around you is going to start to shift. We're living in an accelerated time. But for me, I love to play games, and I love reminders, and I love playing in my consciousness. You probably noticed that. And so I made a little game for us here, something that would allow us to be able to have a little extra wake-up call, shall we say. So I want you to choose a number between 1 and 3. I got 3 different qualities here, which will be the quality that you'll concentrate on here in this space as a sense of a local reality dissident, okay? So if you were number 1 choosing, we're going to work with and use your frustration as a red flag. If you're a number 2, we're going to work with worry. and how to work with worry as a power to get you waking up and connecting. And if you're number three, we're going to work with overwhelm. These are the three that I see pretty much being so strong that people kind of lose themselves and they lose their grounding. And so that, let me show you the game, okay? So that when, I'll give you myself for an example. I've been a number one here now for about a month and a half. I've been in the first, giving up frustration. That's pretty much what you're going to do. Give up frustration, give up worry, give up overwhelm. You're going to commit to it. Now, when you commit to it, that means you're putting your money where your mouth is, right? You're coming in there from a real sense that you're going to do this. And if we're going to do it, we have to know, well, what to do. So pretty much when I said, okay, no more frustration, I was given a little formula how to work with it. So the first thing I have to identify is that I'm in that state. So I'm pretty good. I know my impatience and my frustration. And it's like my frustration, it felt like I just keep hitting a wall because it's not going fast enough. It's not done. It's not getting fixed. It's not happening. And so I just would keep hitting up against the wall. And for me, that frustration, I lost the sense of directions. I didn't know what was going on. So that if you're a number one, anytime you find yourself in that space of frustration, we're going to treat it as a red flag. The frustration becomes your wake-up call. You're there. And what you're going to do is you're going to find out what you need to know. You're going to ask a question. And I want you to write it down. So we're going to get both sides of your brain working here. The part that operates in language and the part that operates in feeling and senses. So that you're in frustration, like, what do you need to know? You're going to ask a question. You're going to find out what you need to know, and you're going to write it down. For me, I was working this around the computer. When I would write down my question, what I needed to know, which is why I was so frustrated. It's like, you know, why won't this work? Or how come, or what do I do with that, right? Those kinds of questions. They would be hot little questions. I'd write them down. What I found, and I've been doing this for about a month, within 4 hours, the answer came down the lolly path. And somebody, I had a client on my couch who was sitting there. I had the question. She wouldn't stop giving me the answer. She took 15 minutes of her time to explain to me the answer to my question. It's like a miracle. So what's happening here, you're taking all the energy that would be in that local reality heat up and getting it to go to the formative solution or answer rather than living itself in just the fire of hitting the wall. So if you're number one, frustration is your cue. It's like your frustration becomes a red flag. Get to know it. And when you're in it, figure out what do you need to know, ask your question, and write it down, and wait for your answer. My number twos, my little worry bugs. Question for number twos, question for any time that we're worrying. Number one, you're going to have to identify what worry is. Worry usually is a repetitive thought that goes around and around about something that causes fear or anxiety. That's worry, right? Here's our piece we want to, is this in your control or not? Can you control this or not? Right? So we have to come to it from the sense of, and again, you're going to write down the problem. I want you to be writing these down so we can track them. So here I am worried. My question is, can I control this? Or is it out of my control, and I want you to write it down, and we're going to ask for a happy ending. We may not know what it is, but we're going to ask for that. But I want you to write down the problem and then notice what happens with a happy ending. This is an act of surrender. You have to give it over, right? These are different emotions in our local reality that we give over differently. So worry acknowledges whether you can control it or not. Is it in your control? Can you do something about this? Or do you need to let it go? We write down the problem, And from that place, we're going to ask for a happy ending. So a happy ending, if there's something that you need to do, you'll get the energy to do it. If there's a sense that there's nothing that you can do, maybe you'll get reassurance or connection. We don't know. You're going to tell us what happens here, right? Because it's your process. What we're doing, it's not so much that we don't want you to worry anymore, even though it would be nice, is that we want you to have some really strong power that you've cultivated in your local reality, dedicated as fuel to your spiritual commitment. You're taking power on one level, and you are transferring it into another level and letting it be strong. Let's look at overwhelm. Let's talk to my number threes here. Overwhelm comes because we're trying to do more than one thing at a time. Or we've taken on stuff, and we don't know quite how it all works. So you're in some form of chaos. So the overwhelm piece is going to ask you to remember to just do one thing at a time. You can do one thing at a time, five things in 5 minutes, one each minute. It's not like you can't do multitasking, but you concentrate on one thing at a time. That overwhelm is that in a space where you're spinning around in chaos, we want to name it, acknowledging that we're going to do one thing at a time, and you're going to put in a grounding call. By naming the overwhelm, your body will probably ground automatically anyway. But you're going to call for grounding, and you're going to call for solution. And so what you're going to be writing down, mind you, are a little overwhelmed, is what specifically is it that needs to be done? If I got 5 or 6 things that need to get done, even if I know what they are, I've heard about them 50 times in the last 5 minutes, write them down. Gets it out of your head and onto paper so it can ground. If it's something that's uncomfortable or bigger than you think, put it on the altar. Take these pieces of paper that you've written and put them under the crystal we just energized. Let's do it simple. Let's do it easy. So, my number ones, anytime you're going to feel frustration, that's your red flag. Number twos, anytime there's a worry space that's coming up, that's your red flag. Threes are the overwhelm space. And what we're going to do, as I said, we're going to use this not to try to have a sense that you don't have to feel that anymore, but to take that tremendous amount of power that you've built in these emotional states, and we're going to dedicate it to the awakening of your conscious mind in your spiritual presence. It's been really, really amazing. And as much as it's hard for me to ask Big Gus, I don't actually feel frustration anymore. That part left. So now when I can feel that intensity coming up, immediately I'm looking for what's the question, what do I need to know, what's the question, I'm writing it down, and here comes my answer. And that's what I have a sense will happen for you as you apply and do this energetic transfer. We need the energy of your local reality dedicated to this higher source. Safe to get your needs met, and this is our little game to play. So let's take a breath. And let's see, time is flying. I'm going to open now for questions, if anyone has a sense of questions. And the way that you get to ask your question is you just use the number 6, star 6, and it will unmute the phone on your end. You ask the questions, and then after you're done speaking, you just do star 6 again, and it mutes you back in again. So if anyone has any questions or anything you want to discuss here for a moment, we're taking a little breather. So this is kind of the equivalent of our break. And this is when you would come up and talk to me at break time and say, Nancy, what about this? It's like if anybody wants, we're just open for that.
Aloha. This is Lusana. And I saw that I have all 3 going on very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
That the assignment is for the next 2 weeks to work on the number we chose, correct?
Right, Right. Which
Let's
one did you get?
Focus on that one.
What's
okay.
the number? What number did you get?
3.
Okay. Good place to start.
Perfect.
Yes, absolutely good part. Because it's like when you're working with chaos, it's like the thing I really was, you know, it's like overwhelmed to me was really tricky because it's like I'm overwhelmed because I can't get the job done. And when I hit overwhelm, it's like everything starts breaking around me and I can't get anything done. So the key with overwhelm is to get grounded. And that's what you'll want to bring in. You'll want to have a sense of being able to feel comfortable that you can ground. And then once you catch your feet again, you'll have access to your local reality. It'll resort the energy and you'll get really clear with where you need to go. And then again, use the write down list. Get it out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
I write down things and it's like I don't need to write them down. I write them down so I get the other part of my brain, the language part of my brain, to start participating. If most of the people that are on this call are very intuitive, receptive, and have not used the analytical aspects of their brain in a way that allows them to feel the sense of its power mystically. And it's like, and so that it's a very new science. We're talking about it. And what we want to do is the reason we're writing things down is to get a different part of our brain active here. And so it gets it grounded and then it becomes trackable. Thank you, Lasana. Anyone else?
Hi, Nancy. It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
So just, I'm in the overwhelm as well.
Oh, good.
So just to be clear, is that the key part says call and grounding, call for solution, and write it down?
Mm-hmm. So that it's like, again, with a sense that the thing you're writing down in the overwhelm aspect is your activities or your goals. It's like what you're trying to accomplish, right? What we're saying is your brain is scrambling because you got too many things operative at once. You've lost a certain concentration, so that what you're writing down is all the stuff that's rolling around your brain. So it's like every morning I'll do a download and I'll write down the projects of my day. So I might have 4 or 5 things that I'll write down. If I don't write them down, I lose the grounding on them, and they all start going simultaneously. So it's a real key to keep it. Staying grounded is a real, real important factor with the power of the overwhelm. And to know when you're there, the thing with overwhelm is don't try to function in overwhelm because you'll break stuff and you'll never ever, you know, your car won't work, your blender breaks, all sorts. Overwhelm is very powerful. These are all extremely powerful states. We're just looking at a way to get them in our nervous system in a way that's empowering rather than dispowering.
So I guess that the part that I'm a bit confused is that if I've got 15 things that I've got to do and I pull in the grounding, my thing is I tend to wind up being the, oh, look, a shiny object, and I go off and do another thing, and the things that I really need to get done aren't getting done because I'm...
Well, that's when if you're writing them down, then just prioritize your list.
Okay.
Have a have-to, and if after I did the have-to, then I get to. And if you go off to some shiny aspect, that might be your mind trying to take a break. And, you know, there's the question of maybe you're pushing too hard or expecting too much out of yourself. And so that you're treating yourself like some sort of little machine, a Karen do everything kind of deal. And that's where we'll start looking and making sure that you're in balance.
So when that piece of calling in for solution, that's also of helping to prioritize.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I feel a little less overwhelmed right now. Okay. Okay.
Again, I want to play with this. It's not, we're not in a fixing mode here. We're trying to access something that you've built a lot of energy and power in that hasn't really been serving you and get it to start hooking up to another level of awareness.
Okay.
And it will work. I've tried all 3 of these. Most of these I've worked with at least a year before I'm even introducing them in, and they really do, as simple as it is, it really works.
Well, I love it that you've got the 3 because then I can focus on the overwhelm, but now I've got some strategies with when I get frustrated or I start to worry about things that I can pull in those as well, too. So
absolutely. And remember, we're hooked up in the crystal so that the work that Trish is doing in Alaska is going to be giving us everything. So, you know, within someone's going to be working on these numbers, and so that we all will basically exponentially grow through our connection.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'll sign off.
Okay, dear. I take one more question if anybody has it.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Cagney.
Hi, Cagney.
My question, I came up with the number 2 worry. And I guess my biggest thing I'm concerned about is I'm trying to move and change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And is this something I can control or not? I've been so caught up with my being able to manifest, and I should be able to manifest what I need right away. So I get kind of confused on how much is it under my control or how much it's not. You know, how much do I force
it? Well, see, where it's under, it's like where it would be under your control is around the sense of what is it that you're bringing to the party, right? So are you stable in your day, or are you frightened? Are you walking around frightened about what's going on in front of you? So if you're frightened, we want to go back earlier and say, let's make sure that we know what you're feeling and what you need, and that you're giving permission for that need to be met. Okay, so that it's like it's not about it. It's like that's one way that I can positively stay in control of my environment, is being aware of what my field is doing at any given moment and making sure that I'm naming what I need, and as I name it, it gives permission.
Yes.
And so that at that point, it's like if what I need is a new house, you know, I need a home, then it's like I'm going to come and I'm going to just call out for a new home. I'm going to ding, new home, please, right? And then the sense of how it is that it starts coming, I might get the sense of intuition that tells me to, you know, go down to the coffee house, and suddenly there's someone sitting there and they got a wonderful space available. It's like that kind of magic often happens when we are really willing to name what we need and let it happen. If we don't, what's going to happen here, Cagney? You're going to live in fear. Your field is going to stay closed. And so that then from that point, you're going to feel totally out of control because you're not breathing in your environment.
Yes.
And so this is a real commitment to take care of yourself. So your worry will give you a sense that it'll certainly come and will say, first step, let's get back there and make sure we know what you're feeling and what you need. And if you're worrying, if it's being repetitive, it's like it's a question you might have to ask yourself, okay, right now, can I control this? It's like, well, no. I'm having my lunch, and I'm tired, and there's nothing I can do. So, okay, so I'm going to eat my lunch, and I'm just going to give this over here for a moment, and I'm going to ask for a happy ending. And I'm going to write down the problem. I'm going to go over on my piece of paper and go, I need a new house. I need a new car. I want a good job. I'll write them down there, and then I'll put them under my crystal and see what the universe brings me in the next moment. So the key with worry is knowing when to take action and when to give over.
Yes.
If you keep being encouraged to go down to the coffee house and you're too scared to go, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? So that you have, then we have to come back and say, okay, let's get your field back open again. Let's get a sense that you can feel safe. What do you need here? You need to feel safe. And the thing that's the most powerful is that when we can name it and bring it in and hook it up to our spiritual presence, you will see the difference. It's like things change rapidly. And because we have this time we're in right now where everything is accentuated to the umpteenth degree, it's all happening faster. But the part that I find that's a little, that we have to be aware of, is the universe is going to energize whatever we're doing. So it'll energize our fear in the same way it'll energize our love. So we're responsible to be aware of what we're feeling, not to try to control what I'm feeling, but to name it. There's no problem if I'm afraid. That's not the problem. It's if I try to ignore or try to hide the fear, then it's going to make me cuckoo. Every feeling is acceptable and every feeling is workable. It's all energy.
Perfect.
Thank you, Kenny. Okay, so let's do meditation. So before we do, let's take everything that we just talked about and energize it into our crystal. We're asking for a congruent yes on everything that we're hearing, that we're willing to learn. And we're also acknowledging that we know these teachings, that they're familiar in different levels. And so we just want to feel that big picture, that sense of wholeness that can allow me to feel a stronger identity in that part of me that knows. That gives me the power to be self-directed, to take action on what I know is right, and to understand that clear-mindedness, clear vision that comes all the way down, energizing the base of my spine, so that the light above is the light below. Beautiful. Take a nice deep breath. Let's start in the bottom. Let's breathe right into the pelvic girdle and release the energy down. Safe to get our needs met. One more time. Big breath. Feeling the power in our body, right in the base of the spine, safe for our needs to be met. Release. Feel the power of the mother. Feel the earth. Remember your sacred space in nature. Your mountain, your lake, your river. Remember that space now, as if you're there. And feel your body merging into that space of sacredness, into the earth, where the sacred space of earth is in you, all around you. And any dissonance that you may feel as you're going through change and movement and evolution, any place that's uncomfortable is grounding into the earth. Feel it in your body. What does it feel like when your needs are met? Take a breath in your tummy and feel that sense that your needs are met. A sense of satisfaction. Like a wonderful feeling after a good meal. A sense of empowerment. Of fullness. Your needs are met. You want to get comfortable in this feeling, a resting pose. So when we come to that place, we can say thank you and feel the depth of gratitude that acknowledges the safety of our needs being met. We're going to take this into our dream time. Safe to get our needs met. We're breathing now into our heart space. We're allowing our field to open. To open. Feeling that sense of expansion as we're in our sacred space. And not acknowledging that all the people we love and everything we do is within that expansion space. And we ask for whatever we do to come easily. That there's ease in our life, and that whatever we need, it's already here, actually. So that even before I call, the energy is already here. Now, what we know in our energy field is that when we believe something, it endorses it. It says yes to it. It can still exist even if I don't believe it. The world was round even when those thought it was still flat. But on a personal level, it changes the way you see the world. So, a sense of ease. Allowing it to be easy and comfortable. And feel that sense of expansion. Feel that sense of being looked after by this greater presence, that all really this greater presence wants of you is for you to be happy. And allowing your body, another breath right into your heart, allowing that feeling of permission. That it's safe to be happy. That we can respond to what we're feeling inside with compassion, no matter what. We can keep responding to what we feel, the way that a mother would respond to the child, the way a father would stand strong to make sure that all our needs are met, that this power of positive internal parenting, that whatever is needed, there's an instant response in the universe. And that even if we don't quite believe it, if we give permission, the power of the law, it comes. So we're just getting comfortable with this sense of saying yes to the universe, allowing it to be playful and easy around us. Even when we touch difficult emotions, even when we're dealing with parts of ourselves that are uncomfortable, the heart's presence comes to comfort the one that lives in this frustration, to comfort the worry, to comfort the overwhelm. And that sense of comfort comes by reaching through the heart and bringing the energy right all the way down from the heart, all the way down through the base of the spine. Feel that energetic line from the heart all the way down through the base of the spine, bringing compassion and soothing, warm energy. Compassion that is allowing whatever is open to whatever is welcoming to whatever is felt. There's no right or wrong or good or bad. It just is, and the energy is welcoming of that. Welcoming of that. Dissident noise, welcoming of that, feeling inside that you're taking care of you. That's our commitment. We're committing to this energy line from the heart all the way down to the base of the spine, staying warm, life-giving, accepting, so that our presence heals. Our presence heals just in that being. So we're going to say yes to this. Yes allows us to be open. Moving now, following upward, right into the back of the neck. And just take notice of what you feel in your throat, through your jaw. What happens here? And let's again give permission for the truth to be known. We've been living through a time where we may not be able to know certain things yet. And we learn to relax and trust the universe to guide us. That we're shifting into a time where we have more available. Feel it opening right in the back of the neck. Feel that availability, that space that is opening to wisdom. Feel it opening right in the back of the neck. Now we want to connect this opening, this space of knowing, the power of the truth, right down into the heart. Like a wonderful, energetic slide that allows our truth to set us free, to give us more space. Feel it, it's still opening. Feel it right in the back of the neck. Opening, giving permission. The truth is setting us free. And we feel the energy as it moves all the way down through the heart. And then that warm glow that's moving through the heart and coming all the way down to the base of the spine, acknowledging it's safe to get our needs met. Yummy. Now let's stabilize here. And now we're going to extend upward. Up into our light receiving channels. We're coming right up into the center of our head. We're opening to our light receiving channels, and we're filling ourselves up. So we're not going out to the light. We're making a space for the light to come in. We're working descending energetic line. We're bringing it in. So feel yourself filling up with that power of light. Feel the strength of your spiritual presence growing, more visible to you. But in this moment, there may be only that. That we merge and we become the grace. And as we feel that deeper sense of connection, we accept that now everything I am, everything I touch, everything that becomes is bestowed with this grace, and that is the gift. We're bringing it home. So we want to take all the energy that we're feeling now in this expanded space above our head. We want to let it come down, feeling it coming through the back of the neck. It will filter itself so that your body will take just as much charge as is comfortable to energize. That if your system has been going in overdrive, as the energy comes in, you may find yourself tired and sleepy with the immediate call to rest. Wise thing to do. And we give permission for rest. Rest even within activity. If the power of this presence has a sense that there's something important for you to experience, then this experience will come. And we're going to chart this through our feeling body and the thoughts within our mind, acknowledging, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? And we're going to chart our energetic field. So let's feel this presence in our body. Remember that warm current from the heart all the way down to the base of the spine. Let's feel it there. Ooh. Yum. Let's say yes. And if there's a time when we're going through this experience, and rather than feeling this expansion, this warmth, I feel myself contracted in some kind of emptiness or hurt or fear or worry, we're only then recognizing that we want to understand what that power is and bring compassion. So you become your own best friend. And you awaken in all the different aspects of consciousness you have available to you as human. It is a gift. Precious human birth. It is a gift. And we give thanks for the great gift of life that we have been given. So we feel the presence above, surrounding. We feel the lines of light coming down. We feel the energetic in the back of the neck widening and opening. An energetic electric filter that allows just the right amount of charge into our body. And that we are directed with us to rest, to heal, to energize, to give. Whatever is right. Now we're going to take a breath now, again, right in the base of the spine. We're going to widen through our hips and bring the energy all the way down our legs and out through the bottoms of our feet and wiggle our toes. And say thank you for the universe for the gift of life. And now, one last little dot. We're going to remember your image of committing. And we're going to connect that image, that power, into sacred earth, right in the base of your spine. So what we know is that commitment becomes devotion. When it's right. Nice big breath. And whenever you feel ready, you can stretch and open your eyes. In our next class, February 1st, we're going to talk about safety field and how to create a stronger sense of being safe in our body. We want to have a field that protects us from the dissidence of fears, angers, and hurts that are going on in the worlds around us and on our planet right now. So we're going to be concentrating on this power of safety. We're going to be working the power of our needs field, and we're going to be much more attentive to the sense of what our consciousness is committing to on a moment-to-moment level. So we'll be exploring all of that. So that right now, again, we're going to remember that little red flag. We're going to take the words that we wrote down on our paper and put them places that we can remember in the house, and be able to keep coming back to that really fundamental teaching that the universe asked me to keep extremely simple. What am I feeling? What do I need? And set the field. Ask for what you need and watch it unfold. So it has been my absolute pleasure getting ready for this. I've loved the excitement and the energy that you've shared with me about the work we're here to do. We'll be in it a full 6 weeks, and we'll be connecting in every other Friday. And so that, and the training will keep going as we unfold, but we're catching the wave, so to speak. And so I just want to thank you for the incredible gift that you have by bringing your presence here for us to stay connected in. And so I had this thing in the middle of the night. I get woke up in the middle of the night with ideas. And what I felt is that we want you to take the recording of this and give it to somebody. And just know it's your gift to give to whoever you feel could be using these teachings. It feels incredibly important right now that the basis of this work get out there. And so we just want you to go out and give it away. And if anybody that you give it to wants to join us in the class after listening to it, they're welcome to come in and just pay for the remaining two classes, and you will have given them the gift of the first class. So it just felt right to share it, and there's I just want you to give it as a gift to, and or not, whatever you do. So we will be putting the recording out for you either tonight, or I'll get it out for you by tomorrow morning, and you'll have it available for your listening and empowering. And again, we encourage you to listen to it around 3 times just to really get it under your belt. So my friends, thank you. We appreciate your work, and we just really want you to know that we love you from the bottoms of our heart, and our altar will be energized and receiving flower essence on a daily basis. So stay connected. Aloha.